You are a sinner. And I know that's not a great message to hear on a beautiful evening like tonight, but I can't let you leave here without communicating that simple and profound truth. You messed up. You blew it. You sinned. That is the heart of the reason for Christmas. You see, your mess is what motivated God to send a Messiah. And your mess, bringing about the Messiah, is a beautiful message. Dr. Luke has a very interesting focus for all of us at Christmas. His gospel has a focused message. You see, the one thing that Luke wants his readers to understand is that God sent a Savior to solve man's sin problem. That's it. You are a sinner, and God sent a Savior. It's a coin that has two sides, but one powerful value for all of us. The sinner side isn't something that we like to focus on so much, but it is incredibly important for fully understanding the Savior side. I want you to see what that means. Most of us typically view sin as just doing something wrong. It's when I disobey. It's lying. It's stealing. It's cheating. It's opening Christmas presents to see what you got and cleverly covering your tracks. Not that anyone here would do that. And none of us would say that any of those views are wrong, but they don't communicate the entire picture of sin. Back in November, I was given, as Mark said at the beginning, the opportunity to go to Europe. And while we were in London, we were able to see some very private areas in British Parliament, including an area where Queen Elizabeth comes once a year to this reception room to open Parliament into session. And this reception room is where she receives people that would come, all these dignitaries from all around the world, and they'd make a big to-do about it. And we were able to be in that room. And just imagine with me being in that room on the day that Parliament is being opened, and Queen Elizabeth herself is there, and you're in line with all of the other dignitaries to be able to meet Queen Elizabeth. And you notice this stately throne that she's sitting in. And you admire the detail and the ornate nature of the chair, and its rich and vibrant history is not lost on you. In fact, as you're in line, you begin to think a very silly notion. You think, if I could just sit in that throne that Queen Elizabeth is in, then I would be the monarch that England deserved. So you devise this plan that as you get close to the old queen, and she reaches out to shake your hand, that you're going to grab her by the arm and yank her out of the chair, and you're going to take her place and declare your sovereignty all over Europe. Now, this is not a well thought through plan. And it does have a few holes that I might be amiss if I didn't point out for you. First off, and this is most important, monarchies are not established by who sits in a throne. So there's that. Secondly, your day will be very, very bad the moment that you think about reaching out in aggression towards old Queen Elizabeth, because her royal guards will be very happy to remove your arms from their sockets at the moment of any sign of yanking the old beloved queen. Now, here's what I want you to catch. You cannot be a ruler simply by sitting on a throne. That throne was never made for you. In fact, that throne was made for the one true ruler. When you sin, whatever that sin may be, lying, cheating, stealing, peeking at your presents, what you are saying to God is this: God, right now, at this moment, you're not God. I am. And I know that you have a plan for my life, but I'm going to choose my own plan, my own way. And that, in essence, is what sin is. It is choosing to deny God's sovereignty. In fact, it is an all-out assault on His lordship. And when you sin, it is a mini coup. It is your attempt to take God's place. Now, just like sitting on a throne would never make you a monarch, your disobedience will not make you sovereign Lord of the universe either. That's why God hates sin. That's why you need a Savior. That's why your sin earned you something. The Bible says that the wage for being a sinner, your paycheck for trying to overthrow God, is death, according to the Scriptures. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that, my dear friends, is the very heart of the gospel message. Your mess is a declaration of your need for a Messiah, a Savior. But some of us deny everything that I just shared. Some of us don't see ourselves as so bad. And we buy into the lie that is posited by our culture that deep down mankind is generally good. But that's not true. Deep down, mankind is capable of building places like Auschwitz. Deep down, mankind fights and struggles and holds up his fists against God and proudly declares, "I don't need you. I don't need a Savior." But that is just a silly, infantile lie. Others of us deny that we are even in jeopardy spiritually. And we think that we're going to be understood by God as having given it our best shot. We tried hard. No, we're not perfect, but God's going to understand. At least we try to convince ourselves of this. And we think that God looks at us and He's just going to lovingly say to us, "You know what? I know you tried hard. Your good has outweighed the bad." But sadly, none of us believe that kind of a lie even in real life. If someone commits a murder, it doesn't matter how much good they have done in their life. You are now a murderer, and you will face justice, and you will face judgment for your transgression against the law. Which brings us back to our need for a Savior. Over the last 3 weeks here at the fort, we have been examining this one verse from Luke chapter 2, verse 14. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." And we've examined God's glory and how the birth of the Savior brings peace to men. And we examined what it means that we are now the favored of God. And you should never be ashamed of saying or of thinking that you are one of God's favorites. It's not because of you. It's because of who is in you. It's because of the baby that was born in Bethlehem has been born in you. There's a better word than favor. It's a word we use all the time. It's grace. And I think one of the very best Christmas carols is the hymn, "Amazing Grace." John Newton, who wrote that hymn when he was dying on his deathbed, was visited by a young minister, and the minister was speaking with him and praying with him and comforting him. And John Newton said to him, "I know because we're close that when you come to heaven, you're going to want to find me. And I can tell you where you will be able to find me. I will be at the feet of the thief that Jesus saved while he was dying on the cross." Because John Newton never lost the awe of a God that would favor someone like him. I hope you don't either. Because when it comes to the gospel of God's grace, I'm very much in favor of that. And I bet you are as well. My encouragement to you this evening on Christmas is to never lose sight for the reason that Jesus came. It was to bring the message of the good news that your mess has been taken care of by Messiah, Jesus.